Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management in this morning, and we welcome Chief Jay Cullen in here this morning for a number of reasons, but it's good to have you here this morning, Chief.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good. It is good. You and I, over the years, we haven't done as many radio shows. We've done a lot of over the phone together.
A lot of talking on the phone.
So. We do a lot of that, but we haven't done a lot of that. And one of the reasons you are here this morning is because July 1st, you officially
That's
retire.
Right. My last day of work is April 26th. So not April 26th, June 26th.
That's your
I have it in my head. For
as first you said that, and I thought, wow, did I miss something? I'm sure when you look back, and we'll talk about looking back. But boy, this last month, I'm sure is in a lot of ways a lot of memories and just a lot of feelings.
Definitely, I mean, 30 years worth of working for the community and being involved in the community, had a lot of great experiences, a lot of challenging experiences also. But I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, I was going to say one of the things that I always associate you with is Board of Supervisors meetings. You're always there to answer any question, and you usually sit in about the same place. That's a lot of meetings.
I don't think they need to reserve that seat for me anymore. So I used to always get there early to make sure I had a good seat, somewhat off camera. But a lot that goes on in Spotsylvania County, so it's always important for the fire chief to be there to answer questions to the board members, and just to keep track of what's going on throughout the rest of the county. Our departments don't operate in silos. We need to know, what's going on with different departments throughout the county, because we kind of play a role in a variety of different things all across that board.
So, in looking back, when did you decide this was a career you wanted to do?
Oh, wow. So, I started volunteering really as soon as I turned 16 in Goochland County. So, I grew up right down the road from the fire station. I was the kid that when the fire engine would drive down the road, I would run out and wave and watch them go by. So I would ride my bike up to the fire station and just look at the fire trucks and so forth. But I really at that point did not realize that was even a career path. So it was after I started volunteering, realized, hey, this is something that you can actually do. The joke is that was something that I saw that I could do, and I didn't have to go to college for. And the joke is on me, having to eventually, go get an associate's bachelor's and then a master's.
Right.
Finding out that when you're in fire and EMS, you are constantly in school learning something.
Yeah.
So, it's been a great ride. But I volunteered for 4 years in Goochland before I eventually got hired in Spotsylvania, and have been here for the past 30 years.
Boy, so you have seen a lot of changes and growth and
definitely
everything.
Yeah, when I started, there were 6 stations. So we have 11 now. Getting ready to start work on the 12th. I think there were probably, there's right around 25 career firefighters. Actually, 25 total career staff, including admin staff. That worked for the county in 1996 when I started back in the 1900s, as the new recruits say. Now we're right around 300. Tremendous change in the system. The community changes, so the needs of community changes, the population growth, the flexibility with employers. So when I came to work here, it was predominantly a volunteer system that had, some career firefighters that kind of supplemented things during the daylight. And as the community changes, as the community's need changes, there's more demand on the services. So it's kind of reversed that. So we have a 24/7 career department now that we work really well with our volunteer partners, and they kind of add to our, mm-hmm. our baseline staffing to make sure that we can provide even better services for the county.
That's one of the great things, the transition in Spotsylvania. You don't always see that in some communities, and there are localities where there can be friction, mm-hmm. but I've never seen that in Spotsylvania.
Yeah, I speak to a lot of fire chiefs across the country in various roles that I have, mm-hmm. and that is one of the things that I've been proud to be able to brag on about Spotsylvania is the great relationships that we have within our combination system. It really comes down to recognizing that you're working with people, and it's all about relationships and being able to listen to what people's needs are and being able to find out how can we come to common ground on different things. And really, when we were going through that more significant transition, really when I first came in as fire chief, it was really finding what that common ground was, and everyone had a heart for serving the community.
Yeah.
So if we put the community first and make sure that is our focus on everything that we do every single day and everything that we're doing, the community wins, and I think it really builds a strong bond between our career and volunteer partners.
And I think we all tend to just take it for granted when there's service and things like that. And I can remember years ago when the Board of Supervisors decided, you know, we're going to start building mm-hmm. some stations, and we are going to build it out. And that was a big move.
Yeah, it's a significant investment, absolutely. But I would hope, especially from the feedback I get from the community on a regular basis, that we're doing a good job. Yeah. We continue to move forward. We are a very strategically driven department and system, that we don't just kind of change things on a dime. So we've got plans in place that we really aim for things longer term. So I'll say I grew up on a farm, and you know there's always that concept of plowing the field. If you want to plow a good straight line,
yeah.
you focus long term all the way across the field, and you drive towards that point. So that's what we do on a regular basis in our planning.
Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management Chief Jay Cullen in here this morning. He's getting ready to retire. We're going to continue on and also talk about some summer safety things, too, as we go along this morning. We'll take a break and continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management Chief Jay Cullen in here this morning as he gets ready to retire. This is fascinating talking about all of this stuff with you. Just in social media, at least for me, has been has really helped. Has taught me a lot because this week I posted something that you had people in training, and just the types of training, the intensive training that they have to go through to be ready for the real thing.
Yeah, it is nonstop, and it's really we get called when people don't know who else to call, so we have to be able to respond to and hopefully at least stabilize anything that comes up. You know, the fire service historically has been built out of people that did trades, and that's kind of been a challenge because the focus on trades has gone down in past years. Thankfully, it's starting to kind of get a resurgence. So you would naturally have people coming into the service that had a background in, you know, electrical, plumbing, whatever. And now we're finding that we actually have to do a little bit more focused training on some of those things to make sure that, you know, when someone's having, you know, their air handling unit in their house is smoking, we have to at least have a baseline knowledge across the board of what are the components of that unit and how do they secure power and resolve something to make sure that it doesn't spread beyond that.
I never thought of that. Yeah. When you show up to things, you have to be able to know either how to turn the electricity off or to do a number of some of those things. It's more than just fighting fires.
So our kind of priorities are always life safety, incident stabilization, and property conservation, really in that order. So we have to be able to try to make sure that we stop any kind of expansion of an incident, whether it's a fire, whether it's a chemical leak, any of those things. We try to get there and interrupt the natural flow of things to keep the incident from getting larger.
You know, I see, and especially when you put a lot of things on Facebook about the mm-hmm. training, it's just constant training. Because of all the various different things that you're having to deal with and know how to handle these things.
Yeah. During the break, we were talking about the training center.
Yeah.
Over off Trench Hill, and that facility is in use pretty much every single day. We do share it with our partners in Fredericksburg and King George, one of us is out there every single day utilizing that facility. We're going to be building a building out there, hopefully in the not too distant future, to actually have some classroom space, because that has been a challenge for us. We have to do our classroom instruction usually in a fire station, and then go out to the training center to actually do the practical hands-on components. That will allow us to eventually actually teach a concept and then walk out the door and apply the practical knowledge immediately. But yeah, it's nonstop. Every single day we expect people in the stations to be doing training. There's always something to learn. This is kind of a career that you get confronted with every single thing that's going on out in society.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of have at least a base level understanding of it to be able to resolve any issue.
Start to finish, when a recruit comes in or a person applies for a job and that you have to train them and everything, start to finish, how long does it take?
So the Recruit Academy, it's just over 6 months.
Okay.
So that gets them kind of their baseline firefighting capabilities, baseline rescue, and baseline EMS. So they become certified as EMTs. And it really never finishes. So
right.
That... I will equate that to giving them a learner's permit. So it takes really that 6 months to get them up to speed and to make sure that they are going to be able to do some of those things in a safe way. Everything we do has a level of risk, so we need to be able to manage that effectively to get the job done safely. But it continues from there. Again, it's constant training every single day. And then all of our providers also are required to become paramedics. So, you know, that's another 6 month to a year process.
Yeah.
Of the actual training and then their field internship time and getting the ability to do that. So we usually give them a couple years between the Recruit Academy and going into the Paramedic Academy to do that. Every year you've got to get your continuing education hours for the paramedic classes, and people are getting trained in a variety of things to be able to drive and operate equipment, perform various skills that are more advanced than just that basic level. So it never stops.
Well, I notice on in social media as people graduate and get a certification and something, a big deal is made, and we
try to recognize them because they invest a lot of time, energy, and we also want to recognize the sacrifices that their families make because they have to spend a lot of time away from their families taking those classes, doing what's needed. So we want to make sure that their families see them doing those things and that they're recognized for it because they're making that sacrifice as well.
Because there are times that's the thing I'm sure your family over the 30 years that you've been involved in doing this you've obviously missed a lot of different things that had been planned because something comes up.
Yeah. I've had a very supportive family. I wish that I could have provided more support and time. I did not have to have that time away, but when you devote essentially your working life to serving your community, it's always been a calling. So that's kind of a different thing as far as how I look at things. Certainly there's been plenty of times where I was not able to make it to different functions, or quite honestly, I started volunteering in Goochland when I was 16 years old. I continued that for 28 years. simultaneously working for Spotsylvania County.
So, oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, there were plenty of times that I had to run out of the house to go answer a call. And I can remember birthday parties that I was planning to be there, and I had to run out the door. And it's unfortunate, but our community has those needs. But it does truly take a very supportive family. And my wife and two daughters have been awesome, and I'm looking forward over the next several years to be able to make up some of that and spend a lot of time, especially now that I've got a brand new granddaughter. So
that does change things. I know that from experience too. It does change things. But yeah, just the how everything is so fluid, and you just don't know. And in the part, and you're volunteering, and even when you're doing what you do in Spotsylvania, it's not a surprise. So many do that.
Mm-hmm.
So many, it seems that they start out as a volunteer, and then they keep that up.
Most of our folks, I mean, really to do it, whether you're being paid for it or not, it really comes from our servant's heart. Mm-hmm. And again, this to me has been not just a passion, but truly a calling. It's one of those things where, you know, trying to figure out what I was going to do when I grow, I guess I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up.
Sure.
You know, is what was the path I was going to take? And to me, everything pointed to this. And it was one of those things that it was, some things kind of came to me easier in this route. And I think that's because there was another hand in it guiding me this direction.
Yeah, I think you can see that. You can see that. So at some point, I guess early on, you decided that you were going to get the continuing the education and I guess see how far up you could go in the leadership end of it.
I would say it was not necessarily intentional as far as the promotions. I saw early on. I had some really really great mentors. Throughout my career in all different roles. But I had some really great mentors as a firefighter coming in, and they really sat me down and told me about the importance of education and being able to look beyond our situation where we presently were and really looking beyond our department or even our region. So that's something that, you know, the education has definitely benefited me in those areas. And that education has transitioned more into experiences of exposure throughout the nation and really some international exposure. So I've just finished up a term as the president of the Southeastern Association of Fire Chiefs, which is a division of the International Association of Fire Chiefs.
I thought that was so cool that you did that. Whenever I would see things from meetings,
it was a great time.
That's our guy.
It really gave me the ability, not just the networking of folks out there, but kind of exposed me to different challenges, different successes that people had across the country, and really being involved in an organization like that is pull those kind of best practices and that knowledge back to Spotsylvania so that we can employ those here and be successful.
Yeah, no, I thought that I was just proud to have my fire chief
it was definitely an honor. Yeah, 30 years ago, I never would have expected that, but it's a really important for us to look beyond where we are presently and just always look for how can we better serve our community.
Well, and another area, and it was just a few years ago that I was kind of keyed into the problem of cancer in firefighters, and Spotsylvania has really stepped up and people involved in trying to educate the public about that have always pointed to how Spotsylvania and how serious you took that.
That's a walk throughout my career I wish I did not have to take. And the emphasis on that, while it's been system-wide, it's also been personal to me. So being a cancer survivor, most likely the result of exposure to toxins in my career, really drove that home, and I made a decision very early on that I was not going to be a victim in that. I was going to take it and run with it and make sure that others either could learn from my walk, or that I can have a significant influence on making our personnel safer, being able to have programs to conduct early detection and find pathways to better treatments moving forward. So there's a lot of things that we put in place to make sure that we are reducing the risk. I don't think you'll ever get rid of the risk just because of the nature of our job and,
right.
and everything
yeah.
out there. But
yeah.
anything we can do to lessen that risk of exposure and again, those times that we actually do have those exposures, provide that early detection, and that way people can get treated and have long, healthy lives.
And you showed me with the opening this spring of the, mm-hmm. of the new fire station
yep.
in Spotsylvania of how you have all that place
not
into
just
that.
The equipment and things, but really the design and layout of the building, making sure that we've got separation between the bays where the you know the diesel and contaminants could be,
yeah.
and the clean living spaces, and the focus on making sure people have you know the ability to shower after they get back from a fire. That's significant in reducing that exposure to the toxins that they are interacting with on a regular basis, day in and day out.
Well, you'd go to the fire station and just be in awe of looking at a fire truck. To look at a fire truck now, boy, the technology
yeah.
is just amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
It poses its own challenges. So again, I grew up on fire engines, aerial apparatus, everything that. They were strictly mechanical, so there were no computers or any kind of really electronics
yeah.
involved. And now they are rolling computers that also has a mechanical aspect to them. So that's a challenge as you try to maintain. Everyone listening knows very well that if you buy a computer today, a few years down the road. You're going to end up having to deal with some bugs and,
yeah.
and so forth. So that has been the challenge of making sure that we have state-of-the-art yet safe equipment that can continue to serve our communities. Fire engines years ago used to last for 30 years. Again, they were strictly mechanical.
Yeah.
You cannot buy that anymore. It's against the standard. Good reasons why they changed the standards, primarily for safety and so forth. But we have to replace them a little bit faster. And honestly, these days, with as busy as our system is, we really rack up the amount of miles and hours on them responding to the variety of calls that we do. So within about 10 years, all of our equipment has close to a couple hundred thousand miles on them and countless hours.
Yeah. It also occurs to me, this just popped in my head as we're talking about this. I'm sure a challenge, too, is all the technology of just teaching everyone, and especially older firefighters who might not want to, might resist, but to be able to do what you do, everybody has to learn.
That's human nature.
Yeah,
no matter what who you are, what you're
yeah.
doing, but that constant training and the cadence that we maintain with that training really goes to help that, because it's. We don't have anyone that's not doing training on a regular basis. That you're exposing them to something
yeah.
new. It's just kind of a natural process.
Yeah.
We're used to that constant drumbeat of things are changing. We need to figure out how we're going to address issues coming forward. And I'll tell you, all our folks are awesome in being able to rise to meet that challenge.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Quick break, we're going to continue. Good stuff here with Chief Jay Cullinan this morning with Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. We will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Chief Jay Cullinan in this morning with Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. He's getting ready to retire, and this is really fun, just sitting in as we talk about this. One of the things, we talk about just the history of the department, for me, goes back to, I came to Spotsylvania in this area in 83.
Hmm.
And
the department was 2 years old.
Wow.
September 21st, 1981, first career staff started. The department wasn't formally put in place I think, until 1989.
Okay.
But the first career staff were hired September 21st, 1981. Four people.
Chris Hugh Daly was the first person in fire and rescue that I knew.
He was hired in 1989.
Okay.
So he was hired as a fire marshal at that point and also had management responsibility for the department.
Yeah, I think he was fire marshal when I first.
That's when the department was formally established.
Boy, but fire and whether it's fire rescue and emergency management, and then also just tying in what with the volunteers. But there has been the leadership and just the giants of fire and rescue in this area.
Yeah.
A lot in Spotsylvania.
Oh, absolutely. I had the benefit of several years working as a firefighter at Station One there in the courthouse. So I had routine interactions with the volunteer leadership, Thomas Osterheld.
Yeah.
Just a giant in the community. Same thing with Norman Brooks.
Those two. Yeah, I was just going to mention those two.
Had probably one of the most enjoyable times I had was as a firefighter working for Norman Brooks. Just a significant sense of family in the station, and it was awesome. And anyone listening knows Norman Brooks. You know he was a character, so it was always an entertaining time any day that you were working with him.
Absolutely. So, I was new in the community and a very young reporter, and he kind of took me in and kind of would show me things, and he could be just hilarious.
Yeah.
But just so – just the passion for the community.
Yep.
You saw that. And it was when both he and when Chief Osterheld, when they both passed away – it was just the grief in the community. Mm-hmm. But then to see, I never realized those were two of the first of big funerals that I had gone, and just how the community came out. And I can remember at least Chief Osterheld's the funeral at Spotswood, and how, well, both of them,
mm-hmm.
and how everyone from 4 Mile Fork on down, and when they left the church, and how the people lined the roads into rural Spotsylvania, and it was that you really got a sense.
That has that really significant sense of community that I've always seen here at Spotsylvania, and that's something that I hope never changes.
Yeah, you just kind of saw as fire and rescue from around the area and around the state came in that there really is a brotherhood. And I can remember you speaking, and you learned a lot about fire and rescue. It's more than just going in and fighting fires.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're spending 24 hours at a time with folks in a station, and they really become a second family.
Yeah.
And you have to rely on someone. I will say it's akin to the military. It's different, but you have to rely on people to have your back and to be able to take care of things that. You know, that may harm you while you're dealing with other things that may harm them.
Yeah,
so it definitely builds a strong bond there.
No, and I've seen with some really tragic fires over the years how your department has helped, just how it's affected all of you, and you all grieved as much as grieved along with the families.
Yeah, you never completely insulate yourself from that. We're all people. We may be able to temporarily kind of compartmentalize those issues away while we're trying to work with the situation at hand. But you collect that baggage and you have to deal with it. So that's something else that's always, you know, that really been important. I would say always, but it's really over the past maybe a dozen years, the additional focus on mental and emotional health and trying to make sure that our department provides resources and support for people because we're exposed to things on a daily basis that most people would consider one-time life-changing events.
Right.
I read somewhere at one point, even in the military, someone that spends their career in the military may be exposed to 3 to 5 really, really significant events in their career, significant trauma from what they're seeing. And I think I said at a board meeting one time with this, we call that Tuesday.
Right.
Because it's every day. We get called people don't necessarily call us when they're having a good day. People are experiencing a significant crisis, loss of life, loss of their home, significant pain and trauma, and we're being called to fix it. So on a daily basis, as you're answering calls, you see your family members and the people that you're there to help. That's kind of been a mantra of ours. I kind of steal it from my good friend, Greg Litz, retired division chief with our department. But his statement as he was providing training to folks was, always take care of grandma. Hmm. So you see your family members and the folks that you're taking care of in your community, and it weighs on you. I can think of plenty of times where I responded to incidents where, a child, same ages, one of my daughters was either significantly injured or killed, and you can't help but see your family member in that. So those are those things that through a course of a career, you really kind of collect that emotional stress. And now, thankfully, it's much more acceptable culturally to ask for help, because it's a those are tragic losses. To me, it's an even more tragic loss that the helper then needs help and can't call for help. So trying to make sure that people recognize that there are resources out there. There's plenty of shoulders to lean on when people need assistance, and the worst thing that could potentially happen is for someone to need that help and not ask for it. Yeah. So trying to make sure that that's understood, that anytime anyone needs any help, they should be they should feel free, and it's a normal course of the career and the process to ask for help from time to time.
Yeah, you're right. It's years past, you didn't offer your. It was often seen as a weakness mm-hmm. to do that. But yeah, now if you need it and have that there and to recognize
absolutely.
It is so important. One of the things with dealing with a, and I see it at least a couple times a week sometimes with a fast growing locality is to be able to get a fire truck to areas. The other day I'm waiting to cross Route 1, and you could hear the fire engine coming, and people don't get over. They don't get over to the side, and sometimes it's just so. I was always taught that when there's a fire truck coming, either way, you get off, you get over and you stop. And you don't see that anymore. A lot of people will either try to keep up and go with you or...
I think some of it's that. I think some of it is there are so many distractions. I think that's why we see more car accidents these days. Even with, whether it's fire engines or tow operators getting struck on the interstate, people are distracted by everything that they have access now to in their vehicles.
Yeah.
So they're not paying attention to the road. They're more insulated, so they may not hear the siren and the air horns until you're right up on them. So I try to be the optimist and think of, it's not someone being selfish and not moving out of the way. Sometimes it's all the other things that are distracting them. Really, as you're building building a community, you've got more people in it, more cars on the road. It's harder to go through. We have equipped some of our apparatus with transmitters that will change the lights, but they're kind of few and far between as far as the intersections.
Yeah.
With that, we've actually been working with a company that offers some technology to kind of integrate into VDOT's traffic management system to. Identify the routes of fire apparatus to respond to a call and actually kind of change the lights in advance of them approaching those intersections. So it's almost as if you didn't know that the light was changing. Everything just kind of flows. But there's some security issues associated with that, with providing access to VDOT's network, which is understandable. So they've got to work through some of those things.
As far as using technology, that really would.
Yeah, there's a desire to do a pilot in Spotsylvania along the Route 1 corridor for something like that, because it not only allows us to get there faster, it allows us and everyone else to travel on the road safer.
Yeah,
and reduce the likelihood of crashes and so forth. So yeah. that's hopefully something that we'll see in the coming years.
Never thought of it. With technology, that would be that would be great. And I know response times is something that you're always monitoring. And with the size of Spotsylvania County, the response time that you've been able to do in recent years is
definitely that's I had a mentor say if it's not fast, it's not emergency services. So you not necessarily traveling on the road fast, but getting to the actual call quickly to resolve the issue. We when I started 30 years ago, there were 6 fire stations. And now we have 11 open and operating, a 12th to soon be built. And it's really about kind of distributing those resources throughout the community. We are one of the one services that do impact and provide service to all corners of the county. So that's one thing that our residents do get for what they unfortunately have to pay in taxes. But our service is available to every single person, no matter where you live. And trying to make sure that we are doing that in a way that is quick and effective for anyone is important. And that's why we occasionally are adding stations, to make sure that we can, you know, put those resources in the community. You know, drive time is what it is. So if we can eliminate mileage to get from a point to someone's house, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, you and I just a few months ago, you opened a station in, in rural Spotsylvania. Like I said, I've been in Spotsylvania for 40 some years. I had never been out. I had never been in that part of Spotsylvania. What a great station! And I thought just as I looked around and looked at those people and made the drive and thought, this for them is just got to be
a terrific. Direct benefit for that community. And that is something that I definitely have to give praise to Spotsylvania's Board of Supervisors for the past many, many years, is the recognition that the same level of service is going to be provided throughout the county. So we're not going to change that based upon where someone lives. So the first due response, as we would call it, is going to be the same. You're going to have the same staffing on an engine and an ambulance that you would in the rural portions of the county as you would in the more developed areas of the county, because it's still people's lives. It's still people's property. We need to make sure that we're providing that same level of care that you would. And I'm not going to say it's unheard of throughout the country, but it is definitely top tier service that's provided, and many of our neighbors don't have that same level of capability.
No, where I live in the Five Mile Fork area, I look around and I've got fire stations all around me, and I'd also notice in my own neighborhood of where there are fire hydrants and there are things, and so I just look around and think, really, I feel real fortunate for those things. Again, those are the things you hope you never have, but if something happens, you know, then I know that somebody's going to be there pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's kind of our stance is, you know, plan for the worst and hope for the best. And, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to make sure that we have the resources out there available on the street. And, you know, in the more, I would say, the more densely developed areas of the county, of course, we have to have some additional resources, just because on a regular basis, they're already out on call, so they may not be available from that first station, or we may have to put additional resources in those buildings. But trying to make sure that we have the same level of response for those, that first engine and the first ambulance showing up, you've got that throughout the county.
Well, you and I were talking off air earlier this morning about watching the show Emergency and growing up with that. And I love that. I love that show. But going through this new fire station, boy, I mean, you have in so many things of that fire station, as you and I walked around, it's all based, it's to help the individual firefighters.
Yep. Not only to keep them safe, but also to make sure that they can respond quickly.
Yeah.
So that station, and I've spent the past couple months making sure I went around to every single station and every single crew and talking to them. So it's 33 visits, and the folks that have actually been through that station and provided the feedback, they love the setup, because everywhere you are in that station, you've got a direct route to the bay.
Yeah.
So you can quickly get out there. We've invested in what we call bifold doors that open to the side instead of the kind of door that goes up overhead like a regular garage door.
Yeah.
And those bifold doors open a lot faster, so they can actually get out of the bays a whole lot faster. So it's all centered around how can we do this in the most rapid manner possible, the most effective manner, and the most the safest manner for our folks.
Yeah. Chief Jay Cullen in here this morning with Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. We'll take one final break and wrap it up this morning. I'm sorry this hour is ending. This has been just fascinating.
That's
Chief.
Good time.
This has been good stuff. We'll conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff with retiring Chief Jay Cullen with Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. July 1st, the official day. What's next, Chief?
So I'm actually have already started some employment with another company and basically just doing some technology work supporting different fire departments. But that's kind of the direction I'm going. Try to take advantage of some of the knowledge I built to help those other departments and
you've lived it
move forward. So yeah. So between that. I'll continue to serve at my church out in Belmont, Craig's Baptist Church, and try to play a role there. And the other thing is I serve as the president of the Spotsylvania Fire and Rescue Foundation. So that's a nonprofit organization separate from the department that exists to provide financial support for any of our responders and their families. As we know, when someone gets hurt, sometimes workers' comp doesn't always cover all the needs, or if there's always added expenses. So we kind of try to step in and fill that void. And we have we do have a fundraiser every year. That's our primary fundraiser, which is a golf tournament at Lee Hill Golf Course. This year is going to be October 23rd. So. You can find us on Facebook, Spotsylvania Fire and Rescue Foundation, and that's a pathway to be able to participate in that.
Well, and something like that is so important, just because, like you say, that there are things that to be purchased that don't always get purchased.
Yep.
And so, as a resident, if you want to get involved with those kinds of things and appreciate. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the work that Fire and Rescue does.
No, it's a great way to give back and be involved. So.
You look at real quick. You look at the hot weather that that is upon us, and in the summer, and we've already seen a situation where it has occurred. Don't leave animals or kids in your car.
Definitely.
Please don't do
that. Be cognizant of that. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water. Most of my friends think I'm a little crazy because I love it. The hotter, the better. But
me too. That's why we've connected.
But making sure that you're staying hydrated, taking breaks in the shade when you can. I will also plug in there. We've got a very active water rescue team, unfortunately, during the summer. And making sure that anytime you're out on the lake that you are wearing a personal flotation device. That'll go a long way to making sure that you prevent the need for us to be called.
So. Too many people don't do that. I was at Hunting Run the other day, and there were too many people out there without anything.
Yep.
And, of course, I can't have a fire chief in without talking about smoke detectors. Check your smoke detectors.
Absolutely. One of the easiest, quickest, cheapest ways to protect you and your family is to make sure you've got working smoke detectors so that if in the event there is a fire in your home, you can get out quickly.
Any final words to the people of Spotsylvania?
No, I just want to thank everyone for the opportunity that I've had over the past 30 years, and it's been awesome to serve in this role. And I have to thank everyone in our department as well, because I have not done anything alone. So any successes are truly the result of a team effort.
Well, Chief, it's been an honor to work with you. I wish we had done more of these things, but you have always been on. We've done things on the phone and just really educating the community about a lot of things.
It's been a pleasure. So I've always enjoyed working with you and talking to you, Ted.
Yeah. So I know you do a lot of metal detecting too. Is that going
to
keep up?
Yeah. If anyone has any property they'd like me to come check for lead or brass, please let me know. But no, yeah, I do that. I love history, and I'm hoping I'll get some more opportunities to do that.
Chief Jay Collinan, the outgoing Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management Chief. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Ted.
That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.